Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now, Brian Kerr has joined us. Brian, right decision at the right time for you?
Well, a surprising decision. I didn't think the FAI would go that road so quickly after the game in Aarhus, and with the draw coming up on Sunday week, the 2nd of December. Unless they have somebody already lined up for the job, it's unlikely they're going to have somebody in place for the draw. So who will be the spokesman in relation to what, you know, what group we're in and who are due to play on that day after the draw is made? We'd probably be one of just a few countries who have no manager there on the day. So that's a bit that surprised me. But I think the time is up for Martin and Roy, and I think they got a feel of that themselves the other night, that the players certainly weren't responding to whatever preparation they were doing for the matches and for whatever tactical plans and anything else they did with regard to getting the team right to win football matches, because it has drifted badly over the last 2 years, probably particularly so this year, with the one win against the USA with a late goal. But other than that, the football in general has been dreadful. There's been a lack of anything inspirational to make people go to games on a repeated basis. Now, I think the diminishing crowds ultimately spooked the FAI, along with the protests at the match the other night, the protests against John Delaney and against Martin himself. I think they forced the hand of the FAI. They were worried about probably when the game started again in March, would people be disinclined to go? I have no doubt people are disinclined to go. I mean, the crowds have been crowds have been drifting away earlier and earlier at the recent games. The numbers, I felt, were being exaggerated all the time. There were lots and lots of free tickets being given out in advance of the match to school kids to bulk up the numbers at the games and in the seats. But ultimately, the quality of the football and the lack of spark and joy, the joylessness of the games, I think, has ultimately helped the FAI make this decision.
The joylessness on and off the field as well. How much do you think things like the Harry Arter business contributed?
I think it's a culmination of lots and lots of things. You rarely see, I heard Kevin say this, Kevin Caban last night, you rarely see a player smile, have a laugh or a joke in advance of the matches, in interviews, before the match, on the pitch, after the match. It all seemed to be like a burden to be involved in the games. And I think there were many, many things that accumulated to the situation we have now, where, you know, if you said, if we were to pick a team, if any of us were to pick a team next week, it would be hard to say there's three or four players guaranteed to start. And so many players have played over the last year and haven't played well in more than one game or even one game, that, you know, the only ones who'd be guaranteed to play would be probably Randolph, Duffy, maybe Brady, and possibly McLean as a sub coming on. But other than that, there's nobody else you'd say he should definitely start based on what he's done. But I think along with the Harry Arter controversy, the Declan Rice situation, the general malaise there was around the team, I think it all just accumulated. The crowds, the edge that was at, the lack of real support, the booing at the end of the game with Northern Ireland. The fact that Northern Ireland, I think, you would have a very limited group of players to pick from, similar to ourselves, but not even as good, I'd suggest, that they came and outplayed us, and that we end up in a situation where our manager is talking about us at least being good defensively. I think, you know, that was the sort of thing that broke the camel's back, and the same situation after matching Denmark the other night, talking about us being good defensively when we had everyone behind the ball for the whole match. More than likely, you're going to be good defensively.
Well, we still gave up 26 chances as well, even with everyone behind the ball.
Attempts on the goal, yeah. But not clear-cut chances.
No, but in
general,
it wasn't a shutout either in the way a 0-0 might suggest, or certainly something you could say has proven that the team are suddenly very defensively difficult to get around. Can I ask you to assess the tenure as a whole then? Because in many respects, up until, and you can kind of draw a line in the sand, up until the Denmark 5-1 game, and I suppose O'Neill's flirtations with Stoke City the following January, it was very, very reasonable. You know, there were lots of big results against very big teams. O'Neill never tired of talking about the many, many good results, the 1-1 in Gelsenkirchen, the 1-0 in Dublin, the win over Italy, the win in Vienna. They were genuinely good results. Now, I think a lot of people, even during that period, had concerns over the lack of preparation going on the training ground, and there was probably a little bit of scratching of heads as to how he was managing to pull these tricks out of the bag. And the best a lot of us could kind of come up with is that he kind of has an intangible quality to get players to do big things on big occasions. But that seemed to desert everybody concerned sometime around Denmark 5-1, the flirtations with Stoke City, and then the last year, I mean, it's really gone off a cliff. They've also lost big players as well, we should say. So how do you assess that decline and the O'Neill tenure?
Well, I would, if you go back to the beginning of it, I would certainly say that he had a positive influence in the initial stages, and there was an excitement about it, and there were games won with great joy, the victory over Germany in particular at home, when we went to Bosnia and won the playoff game, that was a great night. Mm. They weren't the best team in the world, and we were probably fortunate to get them in the playoff. But at the Euros itself, which, you know, Martin often refers to, and John Delaney referred to it in the statement again this morning, I think it's often overlooked that out of the four games we played there, we won one, which is against Italy's second team. Be it we played very well at times in the match. And then, you know, we drawn the first match with Sweden and won all draw the hammer, but Belgium, which can happen. Mm. And then the French match we played well for an hour.
Yeah.
Now, after that, the hope of all of us who like football was that we were going to move on from there. We saw kind of bits of really good technical football breaking out in those games, yes, in that tournament at the time. And I wondered, was it because they were together for a long period and the build-up, that they had time to work and train together on a regular basis, everybody got into little patterns of play.
Yeah.
I wondered, was that the case? But since then, I would suggest that last year, 2017, was a very poor year. The qualification for the World Cup was poor. You look at the game, yes, we drew 0-0 at home to Wales. They're down to 10 men for a long period of the match. Shane McColeman's injury. He did very little in the match until they went down to 10 men. It was a back-to-the-wall job to keep out Gareth Bale, who was just coming back from fitness, from fitness problems. We lost a friendly to Iceland at home. We lost to Mexico. We won a match with Uruguay when they threw in the towel fairly early in the game. We looked very disinterested. We won the match draw with Austria at home where we were poor. Mm.
The win in Cardiff was big, though. The win in Cardiff showed that there was still something there.
The win in Cardiff was big, with the only chance we got. I think once we were in their penalty area and scored, but it was a back-to-the-wall job.
I know, but we are where we are as well. I mean, we're not an outstanding team either. I mean, there was an element of, we can live with it.
Joe, we all said at the time, we delighted we won, but it was desperate. I mean, in Denmark, it was awful stuff as well. 0-0, no threat on the goal, no shots at the goal. In Denmark, this is the World Cup period, not just the recent one.
Yeah.
So for me, last year, well, we won three games. Beat Moldova, 2-0, beat Wales away, beat Uruguay. In 11 matches, won three. Mm. The following, you know, this year, from the off, from, you know, following from the Denmark, ending last year with the 5-1 to Denmark, trying to shoot up the shop a little bit. it's just been atrocious. And irrespective of who's played, there's been very little in it that you felt he's going to make a difference in the future, whether it was Sean Maguire, little bits of different players coming into matches, Scott Hogan, Callum Robinson. But we've not seen anyone who you've gone, I'd hang my hat on him. He's a real one for the future. So I think there was a gradual loss of morale within the players. And no matter who came into the group, there seemed to be an almost a fear factor to get on the ball and try and do things. And I think all those things came home to roost: the lack of preparation, the late selections, the telling the players an hour before the game who was playing, not clearly identifying the positions that they play in. But I think there's a bigger question as well, Joe, with the whole FAI scene.
I'll come on to that in one second. I will come on to that in one second. So two quick questions before that. Roy Keane's standing. 18 months ago, there was a sense he might have first refusal on this job when Martin left. His stock now almost seems every bit as tainted as O'Neill's, not least because of the Arter stuff, but also how this year has finished up.
Well, he would have been, no matter what happened, he would have always been a controversial appointment. It looks that way as if he was in partnership with Martin, and if that partnership broke up because Martin went to take a job somewhere, that Roy might be the favourite for the position in the eyes of the leadership of the FAI.
Yeah.
But I think that's most unlikely now. I think the revelations from Stephen Ward's phone, and then other revelations that the issue around Harry Arter wasn't the only one where there had been a confrontation, let's say.
Yeah.
I think Jonathan Walters said, you know, he'd been involved in an issue as well. And the fact that they may not have been the only ones, I think, has put the seal on the unlikeliness of Roy getting the position now. But, you know, who knows how that could be viewed. I think he would have been a very controversial appointment 18 months ago or 2 years ago, going back to the whole issue before the World Cup in 2002. Many people would still feel that, Roy was wrong and he should have played and so on. So I think he would have been controversial, and it might have been a quite difficult opening period had he started as a manager. Well, he might be saying he may get it again in the future, we'll see.
Who would you give the job to at this point?
I'd love to see Stephen Kenny getting a goal. I think he's earned a chance given his work, brilliant work with Dundalk, great work he did at Derry City in the past, and Bohemians in the past. His experience, I think he's had a lot of experience, even the fact that he had his time in Scotland, that didn't go amazingly well for him. I think it was the wrong job at the wrong time for him. But I think he's the better of that experience, and with the European experience he's had under his belt with Dundalk, I think. And the fact we know is a lot of the players have emerged in the League of Ireland, and some of them have gone on from their days with him at Dundalk and after your Bohemians to the international stage himself. I think he would be a good fit for the job. I think I wouldn't have any problem with Mick McCarthy getting the job. Mick is available. I think he would be interested. I've been working with him up in Virgin Media a good bit recently on the coverage in Champions League and international football. He still has a fire in his belly and the enthusiasm and the knowledge of the game. He's probably a better manager now than he was when he finished up in 2002 in the international job. But I'm sure there'll be other candidates will emerge over the next few days, unless the FAI take a very quick appointment. There'll be candidates, non-Irish candidates will emerge. There'll be talk, could we get Chris Hughton out of Brighton, maybe. There'll be talk about Sam Allardyce, about Arsene Wenger, two fellows who are out of work, very experienced managers. And other candidates like that will emerge, I would think, into it is, well, they'll emerge in the speculation. Where they will be interested remains to be seen. I mean, Sam has had a spell here down in Limerick, and obviously wanted to go with international football, and he had that brief spell with England. So, you know, Sam might be interested in an international job, but I'm sure there'll be other ones on the merge. But, you know, right now I'd be quite happy to see Stephen Kenny or Mick getting the job.
Okay, interesting. Let's talk about the FAI finally then. One of my first thoughts today was about the amount of money that's just been wasted, frankly. You know, I was reading about the national leagues in a piece by M. Malone a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, we've owned national leagues for now for 13s, 15s, 17s, 19s, all the way up. Best practice, seemingly, and yet every second year we don't have a national league, and the players may well have to go back to DDSL clubs or their various clubs because there doesn't seem to be enough money to have a national league at each age, Greg. It skips a grade every year. I think it might be in the region of $200,000-$300,000 a year to support that kind of national league. So when we're talking about money, we're talking about the future of Irish football here. There is a decision that never made much sense to me. Maybe you can give an explanation. When Dennis O'Brien was contributing to Martin O'Neill's salary, he was being paid €1 million, which was a healthy sum, and we've seen what other managers are being paid. When O'Neill signed his new contract and Dennis O'Brien was no longer contributing, the FAI took on the full salary and not only paid him the €1 million, they rose O'Neill's salary to €1.9 million. And Roy Keane is getting in the guts of $600,000 or $700,000 as well, reportedly, something in that vein. Ryan Giggs, ironically, is getting $400,000 as the manager of Wales. That is a colossal waste of money. I don't know at this point if the full amount has been paid out. You would certainly presume a fair, substantive chunk of it has been. So we'll talk about the FAI broadly in a second and the job they're doing for Irish football. But even just in their handling of the O'Neill contract, can you give us your assessment of what went on here?
Well, I was baffled, and I am baffled about those figures you've just suggested. Could also probably throw in substantial amounts of money for the support staff of Steve Walford, Steve Guppy and Seamus McDonough. At the time in January, when we were eventually told that the contracts had been renewed, Peter Martin had been in talks to go to Stoke City. Fairly prolonged talks, it seemed, but he was still in the job.
Yeah.
And we never got an explanation for that. He also, it seems, he had, we understand, from Everton. We never got an explanation for that, of to how within his contract Martin was in a position to talk to Premier League clubs. There was a vague reference to that it being, that it was okay. It seemed rather strange. It seemed even stranger still to reward him with another long-term, expensive contract after the results had been so poor in 2017. Mm. So, you know, I did think it was strange. I did wonder, would under the new contract, would he be able to go and talk to somebody else again if results with Ireland picked up and he was still somebody who was attractive for clubs to take on in England, because he obviously still has that ambition to be, given how close he was to going to Stoke, it appears.
But you wonder if an extra $900,000 was necessary to keep him.
Look, you know, I mean, I think there's a lack of transparency in the figures at any time. So when it comes to the AGM, there seems to be very few questions asked or very little detail on the figures around the whole spending within the FAI. You know, I think the bigger question is the overall situation in the FAI with regard to spending. In my opinion, the whole stadium project went pear-shaped, and it's led the good and dry. We've not had any investment in the game for years and years now. They seem to be hell-bent on paying off the debt, whatever that is, whether it's 30 million or 40 million. And we hear regular references to being debt-free by 2020 or 2021. What's the rush? Why not invest the 30 or 40 million into the game instead of having half-baked projects like the underage leagues every second year? A coaching structure that isn't strong enough or isn't developed well enough or doesn't have the broad facilities We don't have a proper academy in Ireland. It's ridiculous in this day and age. We've no proper academy base or academy structure to develop the sort of players that we need to in competition with other countries and in competition with other sports, as we see now, that are doing very, very well. There has been no money in the game. It's been bits and pieces, scraps and shillings from the Sports Council that are divvied out to improve facilities and pitches and so on. Mm. But there's been no investment from the FAI because the money has been put into the stadium. The whole financial arrangements around that have become a disaster. And as I said, I think it's bled the game dry. The money owed should be on a long-term, interest-only type financial arrangement. The interest rates are so low.
Mm.
And then we'd have money to go around the game to invest in coaching, to invest in facilities, to invest in proper structures within the game. I think the game has been mismanaged here for years and years. And now I think there's a chance, an opportunity for everyone, for journalists, for managers, for ex-managers, for players, for everyone that loves the game, to demand an explanation for what's gone on, to demand some transparency, to investigate why people like Paddy Bonner, Pádraig Nicholson, Declan McIntyre, Tony Mannion, John Morley, Brian McCarthy, loads and loads of fellows that I knew that worked in the game here and worked for the FAI, were lost, are drifted away, or their contracts were just let run down over the last number of years and haven't been replaced by the same type of quality. I think the focus now should be on the board who allow John Delaney to run the association in the way he runs it. And that's where the focus should be now, as much as it should be on the appointment of the senior manager and the under 21 manager. There's space and time now for a bit of a clean sweep, I think, and that's what should happen.
So it's very clear. It's very clear listening to you that you don't have faith in the way John Delaney or the FAI board has managed the game in this country.
No, and I would suggest that very few people have. What type of respect have they got from the general public, from the media, from the football community in Ireland, from people involved in the League of Ireland? I would say they have very, very little respect. And I think it's time now that people stood up and said that, and said what they have to say, and look for reform, look for change, look for transparency, look to try to get people near the top of the game, rather than just being administrators that have advanced through the political circles of the junior game or the League of Ireland or the schoolboy game into powerful positions in the FAI.
Yeah.
What about bringing in some people who have real experience on the administration side of business, of sport, of football, of having managed at a high level or have administered at a high level of professional, fully professional clubs for years? What about those sorts of people being involved in a new verve to push our game on to where it would get to or where it should be going to? Because at the moment, as far as I see it, and most people see it, it's stagnant at the moment. It's stagnant in its development. You can patch it up and cover it over with under 15 and 17 and 19 leagues. But at the moment, as far as most people are concerned here, the game is stagnant and it's not been well run by our leadership.
John Delaney's not here to defend himself. If he was, I suspect he might argue on the stadium front that, yes, there was maybe an initial over-enthusiasm for how much corporate money they were going to take in, and then the recession hit and they're trying to manage that situation and it will be done soon. He might argue the National League, the underage National League, is a very good, positive first step, if not yet perfect. He might argue he's brought in technical excellence like Rude Doctor. He might argue he's made big appointments like Giovanni Trapattoni and, on the face of it, Martin O'Neill when he made that appointment at the outset. And he might argue that you're being very harsh on him and there's potentially bad blood between the two of you. What would you say to that, Brian?
Well, I would say that there have been some good things done, but despite the appointments you talk about, there's a lack of connection with the Irish public that has been very obvious for the last few seasons. Since, I mean, the people who went to France, was huge numbers went to France to see the finals. Not all football people. There were people in general who loved sport and were taking the opportunity to have a good time out supporting the Irish team. They weren't necessarily soccer supporters as such. But since then, I think there's been a complete lack of connection with the public, with football supporters, with people that love the game. And the diminishing numbers going to the matches, I think, reflect that.
Yeah.
My relationship, anyone in the FAI is irrelevant to this. What I'm interested in is the future of Irish football and where it goes, and having the best people possible making decisions and running the game here for the welfare, for the future, and that there's a legacy down the road that people can look back on it and say, we did a good job. If they stepped away from it now, they could hardly say they did a good job.
Yeah. A last question then. Since you finished up with the senior team, have you been invited in any capacity, consultancy, to coach a team, to give an opinion, to be involved in any way in Irish football over the last decade or so?
No. The only correspondence I've had has been to inform me. It's something called the CPD, Continuous Professional Development, that one is obliged to do to maintain your coaching licences. And I would get an email about that every 2 or 3 years. Other than that, never had any contact or invitation from anyone within the FAI, anything with regards to football or around football.
Yeah. That was the suspicion, actually, that you'd been cut out completely of Irish football. Listen, we'll pick it up again sometime. Thanks a million.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.